The youngest of the five boys in our family, my brother Travis, he was born in 1978, I think. But of the five boys, he was the best. He was a good kid from day one, didn't fuss too much. I think slept through the night right away, all of that, you know. And then as he got older, in terms of being 1, 2, 3 years old, he was pretty well self-occupied, liked to play, both of his siblings, by himself, was content throughout the day. You pick him up and put him in the playpen, fine. You take him out, put him on the floor, fine. You put him to bed, fine. You feed him, you don't feed him. Apparently, he was just good, unlike the rest of us, right? But when it came time to go to school, being a very content child, apparently, kindergarten comes up. Mom puts him on the bus, you know, for half-day kindergarten, and away he goes. And he comes back. Mom asks him, well, how was that? I didn't really care for it much. So, won't be going back tomorrow. He thought he had a choice. He thought this was a tryout. As you go one day, if you liked it, you go back. If you didn't like it, you could stay home the rest of your life. And apparently he was dumbfounded to find out that he actually had to go back, and for how long, you know? He had years of schooling in front of him. What that raises, at least in my mind, is the idea of perspective. What allows a mom, or a dad, but generally mom, to put the kid on the bus for the first time, to send him to school? Here's the child that you have, and you've been protecting and raising the last 5 years, and now you put him in school, open to all kinds of influences and everything else that you know are going to be problematic. And yet you go ahead and do that because you have a different perspective. You know what it's going to take for the child to grow, to develop, to be socially integrated as well as educated. And so sending them off to school is not a bad thing, even though from the child's perspective, it is a world-changing thing. Now, I know there are kids who eagerly anticipate going to school and love going to school, right? That would not have been me, so I don't share that perspective. But the parent has that perspective. It's the same thing that happens when the kid turns 15 or 16, and you see them get behind the wheel of a car. That's when you go, this ain't good. You know? But it's going to happen. And you have an understanding of why that's going to happen. And then you have hope and faith, and you pray a lot more. Right? So this idea of perspective and what we have in order to enter into life in a full sense, we understand that. We also know that if you enter into certain situations with your perspective already determined, chances are it will be a self-fulfilling prophecy. You have a meeting to go to at work. You already know that you hate meetings. You already know that you don't like what you're going to be discussing at the meeting. There's a good chance the meeting will not go well. There's a good chance you won't learn anything or be open to hearing anything because you've already predetermined from your perspective what you're going to get out of it. Our gospel today works towards shaping our perspective. The Lord gives us these parables, and they're supposed to help inform us what God's view is, not what ours is. So in the first parable, the weeds and the wheat, it's pretty obvious, and of course the Lord explains this one. But from God's perspective, we don't have to worry about the fact that the world is populated by weeds and wheat, that we live next to people who don't share our values, certainly don't share our faith, and maybe even attack or denigrate what we believe or our values. It's not for us to weed them out. It is up to us to witness to them to pray for their conversion, because the Lord is the one who can take weeds and turn them into wheat. We cannot. But we can be in their midst and serve the mission the Lord has sent us for, to convert, to pray for, to ask for their transformation. So the end time thing and the pulling out of the weeds and the separating and all that goes with that, that's not ours. And so from God's perspective, be patient. Be in the midst of the world, not of the world, and be patient. In the second parable, we have the tree. And here the Lord is, I think, telling us that from God's perspective, the faith that you give yourself to is much larger and provides much more comfort, much more shade than you can ever imagine. And to the extent that you enter into the faith, you will see from God's perspective how all of life can be protected by, comforted by, dwelt in the midst of the faith, such that it would protect us from the noonday sun, keep us from growing weary in the journey, provide the cool of the afternoon. All those images that you might want to use, right, on a 95 degree day. But that's what the Lord is saying. Enter into the faith. That little bit of faith that's here and that grows underneath an already existing tree. So take that perspective, that the fact is the faith provides all that we need in terms of shelter in the midst of the world. In terms of the flour and the yeast, we might think that we are an insignificant part in God's plan, that we are a small piece, and maybe an insignificant piece in all of it. And yet the Lord is simply pointing out that from God's perspective, you, in the faith, in the midst of the world, can have an unlooked for, untold, and by us, completely unseen effect. We will never know until the end of time the effect that our prayer, our faith, our witnessing, our living in the midst of the world, the good that that has given rise to. It is unseen by the world. It may be unseen by us. So we take confidence and we live in the confidence that day after day, the prayers that we say, the coming to Mass day after week, the entering into what happens here, both in the Word and on the altar, leavens the world, creates a new world that we will not get to see, but we plant, we help nourish, and we trust in the yield. So from God's perspective, you have great things to do. From God's perspective, you have a great life to live, no matter what your material circumstances. From God's perspective, you are already living in the midst of the kingdom. It's just a question of whether you see it and acknowledge it. For me, one of the things that changed, I think, my overall perspective of life, I was probably 18 or so at the time, and I won't go into the circumstances, but it occurred to me one day that the rest of my life, and I think I was 18 or 19 at the time, the rest of my life could be horrible, and I would have no reason to complain at all because of the family that I'd already grown up with. Great parents, great siblings, people who love to work and have fun. We just had such a great family life together, and it still is. But it struck me that the rest of my life could be horrible, and I'd have no reason to complain, and I'd still have more than enough reason to thank God because of what I'd already been given. And I realized not everybody was given that. Not everybody has a family like that. The faith strikes me as the same way. The fact that you are called, that you are baptized, that you live in the light of God's word and in the love made available in the sacraments and in the Holy Spirit gives us all the reason in the world to never in any way doubt or think we've missed out or think that there is somehow a greater or better life that we could have. What the Lord has given us and what we live in here is more than enough to experience the kingdom and have confidence that God's promise, even to the end of time, will in fact be fulfilled.